Hey friends, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to talk about a very dark subject. We're going to talk about Wicca and witchcraft. And although Wicca, some of you may be aware or have experienced this, it's not as dark as some forms of magic, that is for sure. But we are going to be looking at, still, it's a dark subject. And when you look into how God views this subject, it gets really dark. But anyway, today we're going to look at a quick Webster Dictionary version of what Wicca is. I have some other things I want to talk about today just to kind of warm you up to the subject. But anyway, let's just jump in. Merriam-Webster's Dictionary, it defines Wicca as a religion influenced by pre-Christian beliefs and practices of Western Europe that affirms the existence of supernatural power as magic and of both male and female deities or gods who inhere in nature and that emphasizes ritual observance of seasonal and life cycles. So, you get it? I mean, go ahead and turn off the podcast because that's all there is to know. No, it goes much deeper than that, friends. That definition is about as vague and shallow as you can get. But let me tell you a little bit about myself. I haven't talked about myself a whole lot in these podcasts up to date, but I have a history in witchcraft. So does my wife. We both actually come from, well, a background in Wicca, and my wife mainly in Wicca. I had more of an eclectic approach to witchcraft, and I was all over the map. But let me tell you where it starts, friends. Every young boy and girl, as they're growing up in this world full of people, has a point at which they wish for some kind of strength, some kind of power. And, I don't know, but it doesn't matter who you are. There's a time in your life when you wish you had some kind of powers that distinguished you from the rest of the world. As selfish as that sounds, and our TV isn't helping. And neither are all the books that are geared towards the younger audience today. Have you noticed that just about, go to Walmart and look at the young readers section, and you tell me what all of those books are about. I guarantee you 85 to 90% of them are about some form of witchcraft, one form or another. I mean, we got werewolves. We got vampires, we got all kinds of witchcraft, and that's what you get. Harry Potter, hello. I mean, I think people on Sermon Audio and, well, all over the internet have beat that dead horse, but look at what it's done. This allure of power. I mean, X-Men, all the Marvel superheroes, as fun as those movies are, it leaves you with a feeling by the end of, man, I wish I had Wolverine's claws. You know, I wish I could get angry and turn green and start smashing stuff. I mean, you know, okay, maybe that's just me. But, no, not that I ever watched those movies. Just for the record, I have never seen any Marvel superhero movies. And if you think my nose is growing right now, it's not, okay? Now, anyway, it started, sorry, friends. It started back when I was younger. One of my brothers informed me that he was going to stay home from school so that he could tape the Challenger blowing up. And if your hair standing up, you know what I'm talking about. If you are not familiar with the Challenger, it was one of our attempts at shooting some people up into space. It blew up, and several people died that day. My brother dreamt about this. He was practicing lucid dreaming, and he started exhibiting certain ESP-like abilities, okay? And I went down into his room and, well, noticed that he had a small library of books on ESP. Bad news, friends. Bad news. There I was. I started sneaking these books off and reading a chapter at a time, bringing them back. Next thing you know, I had a library of my own. It started with ESP. And then that got me into some of the whiter forms of witchcraft, like Wicca. Okay, and Wicca is very nature-loving, skipping through the forest with the bunny rabbits, happy, you know, don't hurt anybody kind of religion, if you will. It certainly is. And some Wiccans would argue with me about that because Wicca is so wide and diverse, as you'll see in the coming days. There's so many different paths in Wicca, and there is no real doctrine. But anyway, I was going down that path, and then as the progression often goes, I started getting tempted to look at some of the darker forms of witchcraft. And next thing you know, I was looking into Enochian magic, Kabbalah. I was communicating with spirit guides. I was using Ouija boards, practicing astral projection. Friends, I cannot explain how wicked this junk I was practicing was, okay? Okay, I'm getting a little emotional here. Let me just tell you this. The Lord showed me just how evil this was through one of my stupid spells that I did. And it's possible that somebody died from it, okay? And I'm disgusted with this whole thing. But that's where I come from. That's where I come from, friends. And through a series of events and many years, because of this situation, I ended up slipping into a whole nother state that I'll talk about some other day, but another state of being that was choosing to escape reality. Some of you probably know where I went there. And then I got saved. Praise God, I got saved out of that mess. The Lord Jesus Christ found me and convicted me of my sins. And I trust in Christ now alone as my Savior. But let me tell you this, friends, because there is an allure to witchcraft. There is an attraction. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9 through 14. This is what it says. When you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out before you. You shall be blameless before your Lord your God, for these nations which you will dispossess listened, the soothsayers, the diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. Friends, in that passage, God calls this kind of stuff an abomination three different times, okay? Three different times. So what does that leave you with? What do you think God thinks of this kind of stuff? Is there power in the supernatural? Is there power in witchcraft? I'll tell you, there is no doubt. There is power in witchcraft. And let me tell you this, and I will get into this in a couple minutes. the power and authority of our God is supreme. And the power that Satan gives you, it's but for a moment. It's temporary. And it's not supreme, friends. It is not. We'll get into that in a few minutes. So to go back to the allure of this witchcraft, this allure of having power, there's some other things that I think should be mentioned here, okay? Other things that tempt people towards this world of witchcraft. And you as young apologists, and I think most of you already know witchcraft is evil. Any of you who are listening to this and are tempted by this stuff, good, I'm glad you're listening to me. Because, well, we'll get into this. But I think a lot of you young apologists out there want to know what goes on in somebody's mind to tempt them to get into this. So here are a few things that kind of go along with this. And this is by far not an exhaustive list, but I think it covers many of the bases. There are a lot of young ones out there who get into this as a means of rejecting what their parents have taught them. And parents, I'm speaking to you now. Whatever you do, do not drive your precious children away from our God, okay? How do you drive your kids away? Only you know that, all right? But we're supposed to be drawing them to the loving arms of our Father. We're supposed to be educating them about what sin is, what a perfect and holy God is, what God wants from us, but also that He's loving, okay? And I know some people in my life who they get so wild-eyed and legalistic that they drive their children away from the Lord. I also know people who do not teach their young ones what reasons they should have to believe in the faith that we have. Because let me tell you this, friends, you as parents might not be driving them away from the Lord, but if you're not giving them good reasons to believe, they're going to go to school and those teachers are going to drive them away from the Lord. So all you guys that are listening, I know you're already down, so that's good. Anyway, now there's something else that's kind of interesting because witchcraft has infiltrated our church. Some of you out there have heard of contemplative prayer, things like walking a labyrinth. I'm telling you what, and I'll do a series on that not too far in the future. There is a lot of strange things that are starting to creep into the church that are definitely close cousins and relatives of witchcraft. But anyway, I don't want to go off subject too far here. Another reason that witchcraft is such an alluring and attractive belief system is people are desperate for some kind of purpose. They're looking for some kind of meaning in this world. And, well, we find meaning in Christ. But, well, let's face it, this world of witchcraft certainly provides that for some people. People are drawn to it because it offers freedom of individuality, and it offers the power to change the world around them. And think about that. I mean, what young person wouldn't want that? Another thing to take note of is just the fact that, well, in modern history, witchcraft and ESP has kind of taken on somewhat of like a pseudo-scientific feel to it. There have been a lot of tests that have been applied to ESP and witchcraft, and they've had some, well, obviously positive results because there is some kind of power behind it. We all know what that power is, and it is not from God, but nonetheless, witchcraft has been given somewhat of a pseudo-scientific feel to it, which makes it attractive in its own way. It's being more and more acceptable. In fact, get this. Okay, I work putting in security systems I put in access control systems, card readers, cameras, Big Brother, scary stuff. And I get to access a lot of schools. And you would not believe the strange new age practices that are even creeping into our school system nowadays. I won't go into that today, but I'm finding meditation in schools, contact with spirit guides. Yeah, that's being promoted in some of our schools. I kid you not. And when you walk through the libraries in the schools, you'd be shocked at how many books have subject content that is somewhere centered around magic. There's our tax dollars hard at work, friends. Makes you be excited to be American, doesn't it? Anyway, I won't go down that road either. And lastly, and I think this is obvious, people are attracted to the unknown, to predictive prophecy, tarot cards, palmistry, astrology, this unknown, and even this kind of knowledge is power aspect of witchcraft, of being able to foresee things about yourself that give you the ability to overcome obstacles in your life, and also to read other people in ways that give you manipulative power or influence over them. And I think that's a good place to stop. I like to keep these a little bit shorter for you guys, as I am putting these out every single day, 5 days a week. So let's just cut it off right there. Tomorrow we'll keep talking on this subject. I have a feeling this series is going to go a little long, which is typical for youth apologetics training, but that's okay. That's okay. Anyway, come out to the website, youthapologeticstraining.com, and say hi. Leave some comments, questions. Also, you can catch me on Facebook and Twitter. And with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.